Okay, thank you so much for coming to our session today. I know it's a bit of a hodgepodge of topics, but I'm seeing already through the presentations a theme that I hope that some of you are seeing about parents and the importance of parents. And I'm going to be talking, so we've been talking data for the past two presentations, so to take your data hat on, which is difficult for me because my background is in epidemiology. And my presentation is about a conceptual model, so more the kinds of thinking that you would go through before developing the studies that the previous presenters have talked about. And in fact, this conceptual model I developed in preparation for my dissertation research in this field and found it incredibly helpful to framing really specific items on questionnaires and analyses that we were able to do. Okay, so here's what I'm going to be talking about briefly this morning. I'll give you a little bit of background both on obesity and on the methods of the review process that I used to create this conceptual model, conceptual theoretical model, and then I'll present the model, which I present as three domains: household rules, modeling, and physical environment slash access, and I will talk to you at length about all three of those. And then I'll provide an example from my own research about how we use this model to create an instrument and frame an evaluation study. And I'll briefly mention some implications that I see for future research, both for my own research and maybe potentially for some of yours and the practice that you might be involved in. So early childhood obesity, so obviously people know, especially at a conference like this, that obesity among children and adults is a problem in this country and in fact in many countries. And young children ages 2 through 5, as you see from the table there, in this country are already overweight and obese. So 20% of young children are in that, over 20% are in that overweight and obese category, defined as having a body mass index at or above the 85th percentile. And childhood obesity, even with younger children like this, has been linked, albeit in a smaller number of samples since this topic is sort of new to this age group, to short and longer term health outcomes that make it really important for us to consider even in young children. So I started by creating just a generic model or thinking through, my presentation is sort of going to bring you through the thought process and the methodology that I use to kind of come up with this model. So I started by thinking about the three key behaviors that we look at in obesity. So it's eating, it's exercise, and it's becoming more and more related to TV viewing, although TV viewing obviously works through those other two, but we often think of them as three distinct behaviors. And so I started to think about how the home environment and parents, especially with this age group, could be contributing to these factors. And so I started by thinking, and I don't have children, maybe some of you do, but started by thinking about a day in the life of a little child this high, 2 through 5 year old. So they spend some portion of their day sleeping. Hopefully, if you have kids, maybe as much of a portion of their morning as possible sleeping. Then they spend some time at home with parents. And then about over 70% of children in the United States spend some portion of their week in a childcare setting, a non-parental care arrangement, so a childcare center or with a neighbor or relative. So they spend some time there, and then they come home again, spend time with their parents, and then hopefully go to sleep early. I made that little sleep bar a little big on the end there. And so I was thinking through these different pieces of a child's day as possible ways to intervene on these obesity behaviors that we're interested in. And so for the purposes of this presentation, I'm going to focus on those purple bars, the home time, but I just want to recognize that that care arrangements are also an important setting for obesity prevention, though I won't discuss that today. So here's what I did. I was thinking through that. I was thinking through the life of a child, so I started doing a literature review in preparation for my dissertation research, really focusing on what is the home environment for young children. What people talk about the home, they think about parents, but what really does that environment look like, and how have previous researchers and interventionists defined the home environment? And so I did a very exhaustive, what I would consider, my dissertation committee considered, exhaustive search of the literature related to home environment. And then I reviewed the resulting papers looking for concepts that hung together. And I used qualitative analyses to kind of combine like concepts from the literature into what I considered to be one model that kind of covered what I was seeing in the literature. And I found that the home environment was, it was helpful to break down the aspects of the home environment into specific constructs that I could then really specifically grapple with and create items and constructs for my own research. And my review suggested that the influence of the home environment on children acts through these three different constructs. So household rules, the parental modeling, which kind of takes the form of behavior, parent behavior, and the physical environment or access. And I'm gonna talk about that now. All three of those components seem to have been working in the literature in various ways through these three behaviors that are important for obesity. And I'll provide some examples of the ways that these components relate to these three behaviors. So household rules. So when I talk about household rules, what I found in the literature is a sort of discussion of implicit and explicit policies within the home related to these three behaviors. So for example, parents might have rules about when or where children can play. They might have rules about when they can watch television or the kinds of content they're allowed to watch on television. I mentioned implicit and explicit. The literature sort of talked about them together, but I saw them as different. So we have explicit policies where the parents are overtly telling children things like you have to finish your plate before you can leave the table. But there are also implicit rules in a household, such as the TV is always on when we eat dinner. That's not something, if you ask the parent, what is your rule about TV during dinner, they might not be able to tell you that explicitly, but if you observe their behavior, as researchers have, you kind of find that that ends up being a policy within the household. So some evidence that I found in the literature, and I have written this up extensively, so if you would like any particular citations related to these, I'm happy to provide them if you contact me later. So rules about eating can support children's preference for high-fat, energy-dense foods. For example, things like telling children to eat up or clear their plate seems to be associated with children developing a preference for these things, as well as some of these other rules that you see listed here. Rules about TV viewing seem to be protective against quantity and type of television viewing. So children whose parents have rules about TV tend to watch less television, and the television that they watch tends to be more developmentally appropriate for children. So the modeling piece is really important with this age group. And we think about, these are children who spend a lot of time with parents in the home since they're so young, and they don't venture out often on their own. So the modeling piece I sort of defined as behaviors that were observable to the children. And I translated this later in my research and making sure that I asked about behaviors that the kids actually saw. So I asked about behavior at home when the children were there. So if the parents go exercise at work, that's not really modeling for their children if their children are not watching that. And that those observable behaviors might influence children's perceptions of behavior or might influence their behavior specifically. So for example, parents who exercise regularly with their children or parents that eat a healthier diet when their children are around seem to kind of be part of this construct. So there's evidence in the literature, lots of evidence on this particular construct related to modeling, that parents who consume a healthy diet model healthy eating, and then that tends to be associated with a healthier diet of their children, and similar in exercise sort of settings, that active parents tend to have more active children. So lastly, the physical environment. I know this is something that is getting a lot of attention in terms of built environment in obesity, but for children, they have limited access to an environment, and I'm talking about the home environment. So I kind of defined this as access to and availability of sort of items and physical spaces that would promote or prohibit healthy behaviors in the household. And for this construct, I sort of thought of it a little bit more broadly, also considering the neighborhood that the children are in. So related to that, safety of neighborhood, availability of healthy food, if they have access to a grocery store, for example, that stocks healthy foods and things like that. And then specifically in the home, whether there's foods or equipment that the children can have their access to in their home. And so some of the evidence, although limited in this construct related to physical environment that I found, was that availability of sort of ready-to-eat fruits and vegetables can influence consumption, right? The children eat what they have access to. So if the food, the fruits and vegetables are prepared and placed in a way that the children can have sort of self-serve access, they're more likely to consume that. And as you might expect, children who have access to physical space and some literature suggests actual play equipment that encourages exercise, the children spend more time using that equipment and therefore exercising. So I just want to mention that these three constructs, I found it helpful, and maybe you might in your own work, to think about them as three separate things, and I'll present the example from my research, but obviously there's blurring across these categories, and we're talking about young children that have very little agency. They don't go grocery shopping on their own. They can't go for a walk without their parents. The line, especially between modeling and rules, can blend if a parent is forced to eat the same food, the child is forced to eat the same food, or if when the mom goes to exercise, they take the child with them. So it could be a rule and a modeling piece. But I tried to think of them as separately for my research. So my research, briefly, I used this model to help me inform a cross-sectional study that I've completed assessing the home environment of young children related to obesity. It was part of an evaluation study assessing the impact of childcare-based interventions on the home. And so during the survey design phase, I mapped each of the behaviors that I was interested in looking at onto these three constructs that I've been describing today to make sure that I was capturing the whole range of what possibly might impact the home and components of the home that might impact the children's behavior. And then I drew items from existing surveys and instruments where they were available within each of these components. And this is a table of select measures that I used. The measures themselves, I actually changed them a little bit throughout the process, but this is kind of how I took the model and translated it to my own work, right? So on the left column, I thought about the different components of the behaviors that I was looking at. So I broke down eating behavior in these particular items into kinds of beverages, for example, that children might consume. And then I've made these three columns, one for each of the constructs, and sort of thought about how milk, what might be policies about milk, what are modeling behaviors related to milk, and what are access or environment issues related to milk. And I did this similarly with exercise items that we used, where I asked things about frequency of exercise of the parents, whether parents had access to safe play spaces, and how often the children were exercising. I'll note here that I used the child behavior as sort of a proxy for policy, because we found in pilot testing it was awkward to ask people what their policies were because we were only capturing those explicit policies, and so we decided to go with asking sort of about child behavior as a proxy, assuming that what the child is doing is related to the policies that are in the household, and that way we were able to capture those implicit policies as well as the explicit policies. Okay, so I found that the model was helpful when I was designing research and thinking through possible interventions that you might want to do in the home, and considering upfront whether you want to influence one of these constructs or more than one. For example, in TV viewing, we're often with this population trying to do things like get TVs out of children's bedrooms, so that would be heavily focused on that physical environment access piece. But making an informed decision about the components of the home that you might want to look at, to intervene on, and to measure, and hopefully that will maybe be helpful for you in your work. So here's some references, the slides I uploaded to the website, and also I'm happy to provide for you. And I guess the questions are at the end, but I just want to acknowledge my amazing dissertation committee, my chair, Hannah Cooper, and Dr. Jan Jernigan from the CDC, Dr. Frisvold, and Dr. Cunningham also from Emory, and the MCH section for inviting me to speak with you today. So thank you.